Tonight I want to talk to you and speak about the mark of the beast. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 through 18. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now, shall we pray, asking God's blessings upon his message? Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight about those things we should be aware of and understand what is ahead of us in the future. The mark of the beast, something, Heavenly Father, we need to know about, learn about, and even speak of, so we're acquainted with future happenings and how to deal with these things that come to pass. And for what is accomplished, we'll be sure and give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. As we begin this message tonight, I want to be very careful what I say and how I say it. Don't say it too fast. I want you to keep in mind as we go over this that every word of God is important. It's important because it's backed up by the authority of heaven. In view of the passing years and the distinct possibility that time is running out, fulfilled prophecy assures us that we may count on God's predictions. They will be fulfilled, every last one of them. Now, prophecy fulfilled and prophecy to come should certainly incite every believer to prompt obedience and discipleship, and make the unsaved know time is short. They must act now, because tomorrow could be too late. And that's a fact. Now, the setting for this message is found in the tribulation period, after the church has been withdrawn from this earth and the Antichrist comes to power. This evening, I believe we stand on the threshold of time and look into the future, and we see two very important persons. One of them is unknown to the world of humanity at this time, and the other is really only known to a remnant of people everywhere. Now, the question on the minds of each of us this evening is, who are these two persons? Well, the first one is the beast, or the Antichrist, who may be in this world today, but as yet the Lord has not allowed us or permitted us to recognize or know who he may be. Now keep in mind that the word beast, as applied to the Antichrist, does not refer to him as an animal, but as a living person with animal-like appetites and powers. The second person we see is the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel's Messiah, and the coming world leader. Now, there is absolutely no similarity between them. They are opposites. And between these two persons, there can be no neutral ground. Men and nations of every generation promote either the cause of the Antichrist or the cause of Jesus Christ. Today, however, the world finds itself in a position it has never been in before. The power and authority of these two persons is being brought to a climax. And we are not only a witness to it all, but we, you and I, are the reason for the climax. And believe me, Satan is fighting a desperate, all-out war to keep humanity on his side. And he will use any method, any means of trickery or deceit to do it. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his great love, is endeavoring to win us to his side and save us from an eternity of hell and destruction. So tonight, first, we're going to take a quick look at this Antichrist that we call the Beast. One of the most startling truths of our day appears to be the setting of the stage for the end of this age and the coming of the Antichrist. Now, let's take a quick look at what is happening today. And you can verify this yourself as you've witnessed to newspapers and over newscast on the television. Today we have storms such as hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and floods coming at a more rapid pace than ever before, killing thousands of people, destroying millions of dollars worth of property, all of this in conjunction with predicted prophecy. The boasted inventive genius of our scientists today have already introduced weapons of destruction that threaten to destroy the world of mankind. And the crime rate and the social ills of the human race has reached a level never before thought possible. And modern travel is now making the world smaller and necessitating world cooperation. And with the invention of atomic weapons, the world now sees the need for international control. It is Satan's way of bringing into being a world government which he can eventually control himself. Now, in the mind of each one of us, remember, this Bible teaches us the Antichrist will eventually become head of a world government. And when he puts his initial appearance in, keep in mind that the day he takes over is the same day that the hour and the church is suddenly removed from the face of this earth, that is the homegoing of the saints of God, at the same time, the Holy Spirit will also be withdrawn. This will leave the Antichrist in complete control of world's government, to control and run as he sees fit, and this will mark the beginning of the great tribulation period, as well as a beginning of sorrows such as man has never seen or heard before. Now, the next thing we need to see and know about is the Antichrist and his characteristics, as well as his worldly power. And it's very important that we understand that the Antichrist, or the beast, is owned or under the jurisdiction of one person, Satan. Thus, the viciousness that we see today that is being perpetrated upon the world in general comes from a direct result of Satan's master plan. Now, let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Now, I was in Germany in World War II, and I visited some of the atrocities that were completed by the German people. So I know what I'm talking about. During that last war, the world was horrified and shocked when it was revealed that Hitler had put the Jews to death by the thousands. In fact, Hitler was branded with the name the Beast of Nazism. And in World War II and the wars since then, we have seen the wholesale slaughter of defenseless people in defenseless countries, both women and children. But all of this is but an example of the spirit of the beast to come. That spirit did not die with Hitler, but rather the tempo has increased and the spirit of the Antichrist is on the move the world over, spreading like a cancer and growing like a weed. The Antichrist is the arch enemy of Jesus Christ and all that he stands for. But he is not the enemy of religion. Please take note of that statement. He's not the enemy of religion. Personally, I believe the most cruel, the heartless, and most hellish thing that has ever plagued this sin-cursed earth is a religion that denies the foundational truths of God's holy word. For example, did you know it was a godless religion that crucified the Son of God? It was not Pontius Pilate the governor, or the civil powers that spat upon Jesus Christ and blasphemed his name and demanded his death. It was religion. And I'm going to prove it to you. It was a religious crowd that led the mob through the streets of Jerusalem, crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" In fact, it was not the civil powers of the first three centuries that fed the Christians to the wild beasts and burned them at the stake. No, indeed. It was pressure put on by the religious crowd demanding these injustices. Now, keep in mind, when the church is withdrawn from this earth, and he will withdraw the church, along with the Holy Spirit, the Antichrist will not do away with religion, Rather, he will enforce religion. And instead of denying Christ, he will claim that he is Christ, and he will demand the unregenerate nations to worship him as such. For we are told in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that hath been slain. Now here is a warning to all that will hear and listen. Today, before our very eyes, two distinct types of churches are forming. One is the true church, made up of born-again believers. Believers whose sins have been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Believers who believe and accept this word of God by faith, every verse in the Bible. And the other is the harlot church, or we might say the prostitute church, whose description is given to us in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, which says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Then verse 6 of the same chapter says of her, she is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt whatsoever the machinery for this church is already in motion, and her final goal will be a worldwide government with a worldwide church, which she will complete during the tribulation period. Now, all of this leads us to the heart of this message itself, the mark of the beast. During the reign of the Antichrist, our text states, no person, I don't care who it is, no person will be able to buy or sell without the mark of Christ upon his forehead or upon his hand. No one. In this manner, the Antichrist control everything. That's the reason for the mark. Now here's someone who says, well, it's all foolish. Who would want to run around with a big 666, which would be the mark of the beast showing on his forehead? Don't be concerned about that, because Satan already knows all about people's pride, and that will not be a problem at all. For instance, some time ago, I read an article, you may have read it yourself, that appeared in the Reader's Digest. In the article, it told how Hall's Laboratory in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, have perfected a foolproof identification for all security workers. A mark is stamped on the employee's head or hand in ink that is invisible until it is exposed to ultraviolet ray light. The ink is non-transferable, perspiration-proof, and invisible to the naked eye. And unless you have an ultraviolet ray light, you will not be able to see it. No one. And this same article even mentions the hand and the forehead as two places the mark could be placed. This identification process is now, now in use in many establishments throughout America, and that's a fact. Certainly none of us who know someone about the Bible could possibly miss such a coincidence that fits in perfectly with the mark of the beast. Now, Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 14. And I want to read to you verse 9 and 10. And I want you to notice now what it says of those who receive the mark of the beast. In verse 9 it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Now, my friends, this old world of ours is heading for a showdown, whether we want to realize that or not. God's time schedule is perfect. Things all over this world today are coming to a head and gaining momentum every day. And there are many antichrists in the world today, and all movements and men who are opposed to our Lord are counted as antichrist. But there's coming an antichrist, and he will be a person. He will be a man just like Christ was a man. And the antichrist will appear the moment the church is raptured and the Holy Spirit has been taken away. Then begins what we know as the seven-year tribulation period and the rule of the antichrist and the mark of the beast. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And then verse 8 says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now, listen to this. Recently, the publishers of a French magazine received word from a Christian who was employed by the United Nations, which stated that plans are now being worked on to dissolve the United Nations and replace it with a world tribunal. Now, the idea for doing that is to seize all possessions, all personal savings, all bank deposits, and then distribute a certain amount of the new formed world money, along with a number, to every man, woman, and child. And everyone with a number will be employed. And at the end of that statement, that Christian employed by the United Nations rose to his feet and asked a question. What happens to the minorities who will not accept this plan and refuse a number? In that case, he said, their number will be canceled by a black line drawn through their name, and they will be deprived of a right to buy or sell, thus forced to destruction. Now, look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, for verification of what I've just said. Listen closely now. It says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, beloved, this much I know. Number 6 is always the number of man. Man was created on a sixth day. He was given 6 days of labor. The hours of the day have 6 stamped on them. 4 times 6 is 24. So does the number of months. 2 times 6 equals 12. So does the number of minutes. 6 times 10 is 60. But the number of the beast is 666. 7, however, is the number of perfection. And praise the Lord, Satan cannot reach this number. Now, all of this brings us to a climax of this message. That is a need for preparation, the need to understand how the mark of the beast may affect you and I in this day that we are living today. Now, as I said before, the world is now setting the stage for the coming of the Antichrist. And preparations are now being made in heaven for the homecoming of the saints of God. And we're told that in John chapter 14, verse 3, where our Lord said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Those are shouting grounds for us. Jesus said how he would come back again, and that he would not come back again until the nations of the earth have all heard the gospel, every one of them. Now, personally, I know of no nation that has not heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have any of you? I've heard missionaries come in. I've asked them the same question. They know of no nation that has not already heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, to take it a step further, I know of no fulfillment of prophecy that must take place before the return of Jesus Christ. Now, that's taking a step higher. Therefore, I believe from my heart the homegoing of the church and the coming of the Antichrist is just around the corner. However, I'm quick to say, with God, one day is a year, and a year is one day, and a thousand years. So I am not making any guesses here as to when he's coming back. I don't know. Only God knows that. But to every child of God, may I say this, let there be no fear in your heart. The mark of the beast means nothing to you. Why? Because you won't even be here to receive it. Because at the sound of the trumpet and the voice of God in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you will change and rise up to meet the Lord in the air, and you shall ever be with the Lord. Now, what am I saying? Just this. You and I that know Christ as our Savior have already been branded. God placed his brand upon you the very day that you received Jesus Christ into your own heart as your own personal life and your own personal Savior. So, the appeal of this message this evening, basically, is for those who are without Christ. Those who must go through this terrible tribulation period and face the fact that unless they get saved during this lifetime, they will be branded by the mark of the beast for which there is no deliverance. This is why it's very, very urgent for you and I, as Christians, to witness for Christ, to let our neighbors know what's come to pass, our friends that know not Christ, be living witnesses for him. Let me give you an illustration. Perhaps I can put this a little simpler for you. Out west, where cattle raising is a business, and there are many, many ranches. But you'll find, if you go out there, every ranch has its own brand. This way, if on open land, cattle from one ranch strays into another herd owned by another rancher, all he need to do is look at the brand and know what belongs to him. In like manner, God knows his own, because he has already placed his brand on us. Yes, like the cattle, we walk the open range of this world. But one day, God is coming after us to take us home. And when he does, those of you who have never been saved, having the brand of Satan upon you, will be left behind to face the sad news. But while you are still here on this earth and have breath to breathe with, you still have the time, if you will let him come into your life so that he can put his brand upon you and make you one of his own sheep. Christian, don't be caught sleeping. Be prepared and not ashamed to stand up for your Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the light of present-day living, no man, no woman, no child can afford to neglect God's great salvation. None of us, no person. Every person here tonight is either a sinner or a saint. You're either saved or you're lost. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You need to settle the matter tonight where you stand and why you stand for it. The challenge is right now, will you stand up for Jesus Christ and let it be known what your testimony is for him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for this message that challenges us that we might live our life for Christ and know to whom we belong, why we belong to him, not be ashamed of him, but to go out in the highways and byways of life and let people know not only where we stand, but where they can stand as well if they trust Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I pray, Heavenly Father, many of God's people tonight will respond to that challenge and come forward to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm ready to go, whatever you want me to do or wherever you want me to go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.